space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the episode 4, the Star Trek episode, A Taste of Armageddon. This is the Penske Podcast. It's a Star Trek podcast, and this one's a little bit off because I'm going to be doing this one by myself. We don't have anyone to guest talk about A Taste of Armageddon with me, but we will be back on a regular schedule shortly. I'm sorry I missed a couple weeks of Star Trek episodes. Things get busy, and now we're trying to recover ourselves as we move on to the second half of season 1 of the original series. But anyway, this is A Taste of Armageddon, episode 23 of the first season. It was teleplay credit goes to Robert Hamner and Gene L. Kuhn, directed by Joseph Pevney, and the story credit goes to Robert Hamner. In this one, in a diplomatic mission, the crew visited a planet that is waging a destructive war fought solely by computer simulation, but the casualties, including the crew of the USS Enterprise, are supposed to be real. Anyway, I'm going to play an audio clip, and I'm going to come back, and I am going to sit here and discuss what I thought about A Taste of Armageddon.
It's a vicious attack. Extremely destructive.
Fortunately, our defenses are firming, but our casualties are high. Very high.
Sir, I have been in contact with my ship, which has had this entire planet under surveillance. All during this so-called attack of yours, we have been monitoring you. There's been no attack, no explosions, no radiations, no disturbances whatsoever. If this is some sort of game you're playing...
This is no game, Captain. Half a million people have just been killed. Activate the attack unit, sir.
Yes, Councilman.
Launch immediate counterattack.
Computers, Captain. They fight their war with computers, totally.
Yes, of course.
Computers don't kill a half a million people.
Deaths have been registered. Of course, they have 24 hours to report.
To report?
To our disintegration machines.
You must understand, Captain, we have been at war for 500 years. Under ordinary conditions, no civilization could withstand that. But we have reached a solution.
Then the attack by Vendikar was theoretical.
Oh, no. Quite real. An attack is mathematically launched. I lost my wife in the last attack. Our civilization lives. The people die, but our culture goes on.
A Taste of Armageddon. You know, I really love the concept of this episode. I love this idea of a planet fighting a war via computer simulation where they run a bunch of computer attacks against the enemy and the computer calculates how many people would be killed if it was a real war. And the other side sort of enforces a rule that those casualties are the citizens who are supposed to be killed in that attack are brought to disintegration centers where they are killed, I assume, by disintegration. It's a really Star Trek-y idea, right? It's a really great sci-fi concept as well. You take something that is a little bit out there and a little bit sci-fi, obviously, and you put it into a situation where you could actually see this happening. It makes a lot of sense to me that a group that had been at war for 500 years, as they say in this episode, would resort to this kind of thing, because it is a nice way to get around the destruction of cities and the sort of destruction and interruption of economies and things like that. It's a way to wage a war without having any sort of collateral damage or things that are unexpectedly bad outcomes. And it doesn't slow down either side outside of the death. I don't know how they replace the people that have died. They seem to be doing a pretty good job of replacing people. Although I think he said only a million people die a year, which I can't tell. Would that be a lot? How many people die in I mean, would that be, is that like a Earth conflict level? Do a million people die a year from anything around here? World wars were obviously more than that. So I don't know if that would actually be like an impactful amount of death, assuming that this is like an Earth-sized planet. But anyway, off of that tangent, I love the concept here. I think like the concept is a 5 out of 5 for this episode. I think it's a really clever, good idea. I think it's really a fascinating way for the show to explore topics. Probably the first really great idea that I've seen from the show so far that felt like a sort of an original idea. I don't know if this is based off of anything or if this idea had been floated around before this in another show, but I felt like this was the first, like, wow, kind of, that's a really neat concept episode. And I know we've only done a couple podcasts of the episodes, but I've been doing the written reviews at thepenskypodcast.com. You can go there to check out short write-ups about episodes that I've only watched by myself and haven't decided to do a podcast about because we're trying to get through this quickly. But I think that A Taste of Armageddon really stuck out to me as sort of a neat concept and like a really great idea as to how you write a show around this idea. I don't think that the episode itself holds up quite as well. I think that they're a little bit hindered because they have to introduce what's going on very early. So there's no mystery at all, beyond 30 seconds of Kirk wondering what's going on, where they encounter this culture. The war starts going on around them. The people on the planet start claiming that they're being attacked. Kirk and Spock look at each other like, what the hell is going on? We don't hear any explosions. Nothing's going on outside. It's revealed that it's a computer simulation. So they reveal this very early in the episode, and I almost feel like it's a better end reveal, although I don't know if you could write that episode to make it be as effective as this one is, because I feel like after the episode reveals what goes on with the computers, it kind of devolves into a standard Star Trek episode at that point, where the Kirk and Spock are imprisoned with a couple other people. Scotty's on the bridge. Shades of Geordi taking command in that horrible first season episode. What the hell was that? The Arsenal of Arsenal of Freedom or whatever it was, yeah, where Geordi takes command. Shades of that here, or that one is shades of this one, where Scotty's in command. Scotty acting very Scottish. He's got a lot of lines about the haggis being in the fire and have a bonny trip and stuff like that. I feel like they really amped it up just because Mr. Scott is now in command of the Enterprise with Dr. McCoy sort of looking over his shoulder. The Enterprise stuff is... Well, I'll get back to the main thing. We can come back to that after this. I feel like the episode itself needed some kind of thing to carry through the main concept of this simulation war. And the show didn't really do it. It didn't try to do it. It became a much more standard Star Trek where they're imprisoned. They try to get out. They, you know, they end up in a battle with the people. They get caught again. They realize what's going on. They rationalize it. Everyone talks. And then, boom, Kirk fixes it all in the end. That's a little bit generic, and it's a little bit of a letdown of what I thought was a fantastic concept, and they don't really take it in any interesting way outside of wrapping it up fairly nicely. Kirk has a really nice line about, we are killers, but we won't kill today, which I think is probably one of the best lines that the show has done so far. So they managed to wrap it up nicely, and they managed to sort of put a bow on what Kirk is thinking, which doesn't always happen in this series, I've noticed. They don't always sort of close up, or the point that they bring up at the end doesn't really feel applicable to me as to what the episode was about. It does here, because what Kirk is talking about is the fact that this planet, you know, why do they continue to kill? And I think it's sort of an obvious question too. It's like, why do they continue to kill? The show isn't prepared to answer that question, but it floats it anyway. And Kirk's point is just like how, you know, you have to choose that you don't want to do this. And like, once things actually start getting real, it's going to be much worse for you. That's Kirk's ultimate plot, actually, is to sort of trigger a real war so that both sides will be drawn to concluding their fake war. And I guess you could argue, what is the fake war accomplishing? I don't know what people are accomplishing by just killing each other, but allowing their lifestyles to continue. Like, it doesn't seem to be a war of natural resources. It doesn't seem to be a war of ideology, because they basically seem to agree. You never see the other planet attack because they're on another planet and there's no reason for them to come over. So I don't really know what they're fighting about. And I think that the episode says that these people don't really know what they're fighting about either. It's part of the show, which is fine. I think, I don't think there's a problem with that sort of take on the episode or anything like that. I just think it's kind of a thing that you could nitpick if you were really into doing that. I think that why they're fighting and how long it's been going on without any kind of resolution, that they never realized just like, hey, maybe we should just stop killing each other. Maybe that makes sense. Although maybe that's just sort of a metaphor for the pointlessness of war. If you want to get like super like counterculture of the 60s or something, maybe that's what this was. just a sort of reaction to the pointlessness of the Vietnam War and everything like that. Not that all war would be pointless, but this war certainly seems to be pointless in and of itself. But outside of that, the Scotty stuff on the Enterprise is fine. I think they do a good job of disguising something that's not particularly important in this episode. Usually, the show does a lot of episodes where someone is isolated from the ship. And the people on the ship, like an example would be like Arena was an example of that. There's a few other ones. Miri would be another example. They've done a lot of them where that's sort of the driving plot line is that a crew gets separated from the ship and they have to deal with it. And normally the people on the ship are kind of stuck in a tough position where they don't have a lot to do and it's not very interesting what's going on up there. I think that this one kind of fakes a conflict, and I think it does it good enough that you aren't distracted by how pointless it is, because Scotty gets in a fight with that ambassador who seems to just be terrible at his job, and he's been promoted up to his first level of failure. And he is trying to convince Scotty that this planet is peaceful. Scotty, sticking to his guns, says it's not peaceful. He's going to keep the shields up and sort of be worried about what's going on. What's basically up there is just to sort of allow the crew to have this conflict about whether or not these people on the planet are on the up and up. We know they're not on the up and up, but it gives a little bit of a distraction from the A story, which is taking place on the planet, which I think is a mature storyline telling what they're doing here, that they do that. It's not truly a B story, but it's not so weak of a B story that's obvious. I think that's a pretty good take on, you know, what they were trying to do there. I don't know how effective, you know, I don't know how necessary it was, but at the same time, it's funny that I think Scotty says that he's, you know, he's not lowering the screens. I like how they call them screens too in the sense of shields. He's not lowering the screens. He's going to keep his weapons locked. The ambassador says that he can't beam down while the screens are up, but then I think they just cut to a scene where the ambassador beams down. So it's kind of a weak writing there where they didn't really have anywhere to go. And I think they just said, fuck it, we'll just beam him down and we'll move on with the plot. And, you know, Scotty being indignant up there makes sense and he's correct, but it ultimately doesn't allow the plot to move forward. Yeah. And then everyone else is pretty good in this one. You know, I feel like this one just kind of settles into a generic Star Trek episode. I think it's very good. I think the concept is super strong. I'm trying to think of an analogy that would be in Next Gen for something that was a really great concept but didn't manage to hold up to it. Kind of drawing a blank. I don't think there's anything that's really, really like this. All the Next Gen episodes have kind of, they start off generic and they don't really build anywhere. This one starts very well, but it doesn't manage to pull itself through. For our, hey, it was the 60s era, Spock has a great line when he's in all seriousness and he tells the yeoman who beams down with them to, you know, sort of be the guard over this woman that they've kidnapped or captured and are interrogating to figure out what's going on. And he tells her, you can knock her down and sit on her if you need to. So I think he says it in all seriousness, too. I guess that's just the woman's technique from the 60s of how they're supposed to restrain each other. A woman is just supposed to sit on another one. That's it. Yeah, it's a taste of Armageddon. I'm sorry the episode's short. We'll be back to normal, but let me know what you guys thought about this one. I think it's good. I think it's rubbing up against I have a hard time grading the TOS episodes, I think, because what I'm expecting them to do is probably never accomplished. I just don't think that the show is really all that interested in taking the central concept and sort of fully fleshing it out like a modern show would. So what you end up is sometimes you'll have really great concepts and then they won't be fulfilled. Other times you'll have really good concepts that are fulfilled perfectly, kind of like Balance of Terror does that. Like the episode doesn't miss anything about what it's trying to do. It does a very good job of getting through what it is sort of putting out there. And so I think that things like this episode, which have really great ideas that they just don't manage to really get anywhere with, although I think they do this one the best out of those kind of episodes, is tough as to what you would grade it. Because I think this is one of the best episodes of the season that I've seen so far. Maybe we'll see a lot more coming up, and I know that we do see a couple more that are certainly legendary status. But I think this one's good. I'm going to play an audio clip. you guys let me know what you thought about it. What did I miss? Am I missing anything? Is there some aspect of this one that makes this one of the all-time classics? I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I'm going to play a clip, Taste of Armageddon. I'll be back right after that.
The instinct can be fought. We're human beings with the blood of a million savage years on our hands. But we can stop it. We can admit that we're killers, but we're not going to kill today. That's all it takes. Knowing that we're not going to kill today. Contact Vendekar. I think you'll find that they're just as terrified, appalled, horrified as you are. That they'll do anything to avoid the alternative I've given you. Peace or utter destruction. It's up to you.
All right. The Taste of Armageddon. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. I'm enjoying this TOS thing, as I mentioned at the top. Oh, and if you're on YouTube for this video, you can click in the upper right-hand corner and vote on what you would put on our scale of 1 to 5 for Taste of Armageddon. Let me know. It's good to see what the audience feels about these things. And I'm enjoying this TOS run. As I said at the start, if you guys are interested in my thoughts about the episodes that we aren't podcasting about, you can go to thepenskypodcast.com. And you can go to the season one drop down for TOS, and there'll be a season one write up thing. I just do a couple short blurbs, give my ratings for all that stuff so you can see where I stand for the rest of the season. And that's it. Taste of Armageddon. I'm going to give this one a 4 out of 5. I think it's a strong 4, too. I really enjoyed this one. I think it's good. I think it's just, it doesn't have that sort of overall cohesive tone that something like Balance of Terror has, or that, not a balance of, not a tone, but it has like a solid story that runs all the way through. This one starts really good. It kind of hits a middling section, right in the middle, obviously. And then at the end, it redeems itself a little bit, but it does this sort of standard Kirk, quoting stuff. I just really like the lines that he delivers in that. It just doesn't carry through on what all the possible outcomes of this kind of simulated war would be. It's a really great concept. I keep saying that, but it is. It's a really great idea, and they just don't manage to really explore it in a way that I think is satisfying. But that's it. It's a 4 out of 5. It's one of my favorites of the season so far. I think it's a very good episode. I think it's a great concept. I think it's a great way. It's a great explanation as to what the show would do with this kind of thing, like how this sci-fi concept works into how the show is going to be going forward. That's it, guys. Let me know what you thought about this one, Taste of Armageddon. And after that, we are going to be back with an episode. It's either Devil in the Dark or Errand of Mercy, something like that. Well, you can ignore me now, and you'll see in a couple of days when we come back with a guest. It won't just be me talking again. I know that these episodes are always a little bit of a letdown compared to the ones with guests, but I have to get them done. I have to get back on some kind of schedule. Guys, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can like us on Facebook. You can like us on YouTube, like the video on YouTube. You can rate us on iTunes, all that stuff. Go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast if you want to give a couple dollars a month to support the show. You get extra content. We just finished RoboCop series. We did RoboCop 1, 2, and 3. They're available as downloads on Patreon. And we're moving forward. We're going to be doing Suicide Squad and Ex Machina as the Patreon specials for this coming month of March. So you guys can head over there to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. Support the show. A couple dollars a month. Really appreciate it. And that's it. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you listening. And we'll see you in a couple days. Until then.